I'm Gene Pasale, and this is Living History. This show explores the rich heritage of the Brandywine Valley outside Philadelphia, focusing on the people, places, and events over more than 300 years which have played an important part in our American heritage. Each show highlights a local town, event, or personality who's had a notable influence on our culture. Before we get started, I want to mention that our call-in line, if you have questions, is 610-701-9243. That's 610-701-9243. This day in history, March 16th. On this day in 1751, the future father of the Constitution, James Madison, is born in Virginia, becoming a brilliant student and later serving in the Virginia legislature, where he befriended a young man named Thomas Jefferson. Madison and Jefferson would later be ideological soulmates. Madison actively engaged in the convention in Philadelphia, which created the U.S. Constitution, supporting its ratification by writing about 35% of the Federalist Papers, and subsequently becoming the fourth president of the United States. In 1802, the U.S. Military Academy at West Point is established on the banks of the Hudson River in New York, the prestigious institution training the best and the brightest that America has to offer, including Generals Ulysses S. Grant and Dwight Eisenhower. And in 1945, weeks of treacherous fighting end on the island of Iwo Jima in the Pacific, where United States Marines defeated a dedicated Japanese force which nearly decimated their ranks as they tried to storm the desolate rocky outpost, where a handful of American soldiers finally placed a flag atop Mount Suribachi, an event that was captured in one of the most famous war photographs of all time. Visitors to the Brandywine Valley outside Philadelphia often come to see the lovely rolling hills and rustic countryside, centuries-old stone mansions from the Revolutionary War era, and the Brandywine River Museum of Art. Situated along the banks of the Brandywine, just down the road from Hank's Place, the museum was officially opened in 1971 after the reclamation of precious land along the river protected from industrial development. The structure was formerly known as Hoffman's Mill, a Civil War-era building which now stands as the repository of some of the nation's finest art, with thousands of works from artists including the Wyeth family, N.C., Andrew, and Jamie, along with Father of the Brandywine School Howard Pyle, Frank Schoonover, and numerous others. The Brandywine River Museum showcases several different styles and themes, highlighting everything from landscape painting to portraits, illustration, and sculpture, along with a speaker series, a Brandywine Christmas with their famous train display, and trees decorated with hundreds of all-natural handmade ornaments, and much more. Today we'll be talking with Hillary Holland, Communications Director of the museum, who will tell us more about their many offerings. Hillary, welcome to the show.
Thank you for inviting me to be on. I'm very excited about this.
Oh, it's great to have you. You know, many people know, or at least have heard about the Brandywine River Museum, but they know it, many people know it, I think, as the Wyeth Museum. Can you just tell us a little bit about, on your perspective of the long heritage of the Wyeth family in the Chadsford area and their involvement with the museum?
Oh, absolutely, yes. The Wyeth family has been here for more than 100 years. Howard Pyle actually used to have a summer painting school out here in Chadsford, and I believe that's how N.C. Wyeth got introduced to this beautiful location. And in 1911, he received a commission to paint, to create illustrations for a special edition of Treasure Island. And with the proceeds from that job, he actually purchased a property and built a house and studio, and the studio was built to his specifications. So the Wyeth family's roots go back to at least 1911. And we're called the Wyeth Museum because we do have such a vast collection. Our collection includes vast works by N.C. Wyeth, Andrew Wyeth, his son, whom most people know best, and Andrew's son, Jamie, who is an artist in his own right. We also have works of art by Andrew's brothers and sisters. Most of his siblings, all but one of his siblings, were involved in the arts, and two of his sisters also married artists. Mm-hmm. So there was a tremendous artistic legacy in the Wyeth family, and we're very pleased to have it on view for residents as well as for visitors who come to see Chad's Ford in the Brandywine Valley. And we also are so much more. We've got works by dozens of other artists that are dot named Wyeth, so we're very fortunate that we've got such a terrific collection that has something for everyone.
Yes, I think some people may know that Andrew Wyeth's sister was married to another artist named Peter Hurd, who loved painting scenes of the Southwest. So if people are familiar with the Southwest, they may have seen some paintings by this gentleman, Peter Hurd.
Yes, that's very true. Peter Hurd came to the area to study painting, and he married Henriette. Henriette was the name. And they stayed here for a couple of years, but eventually they did both move back to the Southwest because it was so dear to his heart. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, we've got some of his work on view right now. And Anne Wyeth McCoy was married to an artist named John McCoy. And we have works by the extended Wyeth family on view in our Sharp Gallery on the third floor.
Mm-hmm. Now, I mentioned earlier that the building that at least started the museum was an old mill on the banks of the Brandywine. How did you actually physically turn it into a museum? Must have included a lot of work.
It did. We actually purchased, the property was purchased in 1967, and the museum opened in 1971. And the story goes that Mrs. Andrew Wyeth, her name was Betsy, said to our founder, Frolic Weymouth, if you buy that and decide to open it as a museum, I will make sure there will be art in it for you. So it was quite a process. One of the things that they did was they added the three-story atrium, and each story has floor-to-ceiling windows, and that was actually inspired by a silo. The architect who did such a brilliant job was named James Greaves, and he took the idea of a silo from the outside and put it inside, and that's the circulation core for the museum. There was a lot of work. They had to pour in concrete, of course. The walls in the basement are 4 feet thick, and then moving up, the walls are stepped back so that only three courses of brick remain by the roof.
Mm-hmm.
To adapt the mill, the roof was removed and a truss system was installed, and the entire building suspended from that truss system.
Quite a bit of work.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There are timbers that support each floor. They are hollowed out with steel rods inserted,
mm-hmm.
and each floor is suspended from the roof truss. It was really just a labor of love. I've read that they asked, you know, they had several architects they consulted with, and this gentleman, James Greaves, was the only one who did not say, just tear it down and start fresh.
And interesting.
I think we can all say we're very grateful mm-hmm. that they went with this design because it's so inspiring, and it really combines art and the environment.
Yeah, it's about 1864, I think, is the date
yes.
of Hossam Mill. So right as the Civil War was raging, that mill was running.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of our listeners have heard of the term the Brandywine School, which is started by artist-illustrator Howard Pyle. Tell us a little bit, just a bit, about this school of artists.
Well, that really has to do with the artists who studied under Howard Pyle, and it was just before and around the turn of the 20th century. Howard Pyle was the most famous illustrator at the time when he was at the height of his career, and he was also a very generous person who had a painting school, and dozens of people studied under him. Men and women came to Wilmington to study, including N.C. Wyeth, Frank Schoonover, all sorts of artists came. He was very influential in American illustration in the early 20th century. When you know, you have to think at this time, it was before radio, it was before there were many movies, it was before TV, so stories and books were where you got your interest, your cultural inspiration, and so illustration was such an important part of telling the stories.
Mm-hmm. I know that N.C. Wyeth was one of his most famous students, and he did illustrations for many well-known books, including Treasure Island.
Yes, and we do have, I believe he's painted 15 works for that commission, but we've only have 12 on display. Although I do need to note for your listeners, we are in the middle of a very exciting project of relighting all of our six galleries. So today, we have two galleries open, the Andrew Wyeth Gallery and the Sharp Gallery, with the extended Wyeth family members.
Oh, excellent.
Then this Saturday, we will open another gallery, because we're going to have an exhibition of work by artists of the Hudson River School, which are the beautiful paintings everyone's very familiar with. And the Hudson River School is actually considered the first truly American art movement.
Okay.
So we're very excited to have that coming in and opening up on Saturday. And then the other two galleries will open up by mid-April.
I am a huge fan of landscape paintings. In fact, there are some of my favorites, and I will love to see that that exhibit. I've been to the museum many, many times. I've been a member, and we're big supporters of the Brandywine River Museum of Art. What are some of your favorite paintings there?
Well, I have to say that some of my favorite paintings are by the artist known as George A. Weymouth, who was also known as our founder, Frolic Weymouth. He paints in tempera, which is the same medium that Andrew Wyeth preferred, and I love his landscapes. They're very much depictions of the landscape that we all know and love so much. He's got one that's called August, and it's a field of Queen Anne's lace, and you see sky, and you see a hay rick, and it's just very evocative of our area in August. You can almost hear the cicadas.
That is an absolutely superb painting. That happens to be one of my all-time favorites in the collection. I've seen it. In fact, I have a small print of that. That is just a beautiful painting. People who have wandered by that print in your store probably don't realize it's by Frolic Weymouth, but
no,
that's just
no,
a great one.
Too.
We are just about to take a break, but stay with us. Tune in. It's in about 30 seconds or so. We'll be back after a commercial break, and thank you.
I don't believe it. My savings are gone. They're gone.
You're kidding.
Nope, they're gone. They're gone, gone.
Okay, all right. Think about it. Where did you have them last?
I remember I was home, then I took them, and then I spent them on that vacation to Aruba. Then I bought this miniature suit of armor I saw in the in-flight magazine.
And that's the last you saw of your savings?
Yes.
This is so weird.
I know, right?
Weird? Not really. Not saving now means no money later. You'd be surprised how quickly a little money from every paycheck can really add up. Put away a few bucks, feels like a million bucks. For free ideas and easy ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. That's feedthepig.org.
The armor is cool, though. Oops. I think I broke its gauntlet.
You broke my favorite part.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Are you tired of looking up at that old, streaky, stained, tired, ugly roof? Tired of that ugly roof taking away from your home's curb appeal? G.P. Martini Roofing wants to solve your curb appeal woes with a new roof built with Atlas Pristine Shingles featuring Scotch Guard Protector from 3M. The only shingle with a lifetime limited warranty against algae, streaks, and stains. G.P. Martini's crews are highly trained professional installers of asphalt shingle roofs, and now with the power of Atlas Shingles and Scotchgard Protector from 3M, GP Martini will install a roof that will provide the lasting color you choose for as long as you're in your home. Let GP Martini Roofing have a look at that nagging leak, or just call to consult about upgrading the look for your prized investment. Call them today, 610-873-1696. Whether your need is residential or commercial, GP Martini Roofing has the expertise in-house to solve your problem, or to simply make your home or office look its best. 610-873-1696. That's the number to call. 610-873-1696, and one of those GP Martini trucks will be on its way to you.
This is the talk of Chester County, 1520 WCHE.
I'm Gene Pasale, and this is Living History. Today we're talking with Hillary Holland, the Communications Director of the Brandywine River Museum of Art in historic Chad's Ford, Pennsylvania. Hillary, we were just talking about some of your favorite paintings. I just want to mention one of my all-time favorite paintings is there at the museum. It's called In a Dream, I Meet General Washington, and it's by N.C. Wyeth. It's just, I'm a history buff, of course, but it is just a superb depiction of Wyeth speaking with Washington, who's on his horse with troops marching in the background during the Revolutionary War. Can you tell us just a little bit about that particular painting?
Yes. That painting is indeed the result of a dream, and N.C. Wyeth had it after almost falling from a scaffolding while he was painting a mural of George Washington at the Trenton National Bank. In it, N.C. is talking to Washington at the Battle of the Brandywine, which is, of course, just down the street from where the museum is located. And if you look closely, you can even see that there's several components of the battle, including General Lafayette. Wyeth himself loved revolutionary history, and he loved the Brandywine Valley in Chad's form. So in his dream, he was trying to get his son, Andrew Wyeth, who was 5 or 7 at that time, he was trying to get Andrew Wyeth, who's down in the corner, to look up and meet Washington, but Andrew Wyeth wasn't interested. He couldn't tear himself away from his drawing.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it's a really spectacular painting.
It is just superb. If you haven't seen it, talking to our listeners here, you really ought to stop by the museum when it's on display.
Yeah, I have to caution you that it's because of all the relighting work going on, it's not on view at the moment.
Yes, I loved it so much, I even mentioned it in my book, Lafayette's Gold, which is about the Battle of the Brandywine. But in terms of works of art, most museums have far more works of art than they can possibly display at any one time. How do you choose or make a decision on how to rotate, when to rotate certain items out and back in for display?
Mm-hmm. Well, works on paper are displayed for a limited amount of time, maybe 8 to 12 weeks, because the papers and pigments are vulnerable to the exposure to light. Oil paintings and tempers are more stable and can be displayed for longer periods, although the museum carefully monitors the light, the temperature, and the humidity levels, because there are recommended standards in the museum industry. Stepping aside from the medium that the work is in, works are rotated in order to display more of the collection, and the curators select them according to perhaps a theme or a style or who the artist is and what available space there is. We do tend to have certain works on view all the time, as many museums do, such, you know, the Louvre always has the Mona Lisa on view. Mm-hmm. We almost always have the Treasure Island paintings on view. Mm-hmm. But we're very fortunate that we've got there's depth to our collection, so we can always bring out something wonderful for people to see. And I also would like to let your visitors know that we don't necessarily publicize this as much as we do the special exhibitions that come in, but we do rotate the works in the Andrew Wyeth Gallery about twice a year, so it's not always the same thing on view when they come to visit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's great. I have to profess my strong admiration for N.C. Wyeth and Howard Pyle, who really produced some of the most outstanding illustrations for books and magazines and other media. But, you know, they generally didn't like to be called illustrators. I guess to them it sounded less professional. Can you tell us just a little bit about some of the better-known illustrations and their thinking of their art that's in the collection?
Well, we've got they had to do illustrations for books and for magazines. There were several magazines that came out, monthly magazines that had stories, and they all called for illustrations. So there were dozens and hundreds of works that they did. Howard Pyle was more comfortable with the term illustrator, but it was somewhat looked down on by the fine artists, and that was something that did really bother N.C. Wyeth, which is so ironic because, I mean, the work he did for illustration is so beloved now that, and I don't think contemporary people make the distinction the way it was made 100 years ago. Mm-hmm. He was very successful at illustrating. He made iconic pieces, but in his own time, he produced what he would call fine art. He experimented with modernism. He did some impressionist paintings. He was always stretching himself as an artist, but it really was the illustration and the commercial work and the murals that he earned his living from.
As a longtime collector of art and really art lover and of many of the pieces you have there, I have to say that I think their illustrations done roughly a century ago or so were outstanding. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're absolutely superb works of art. I live in Kennett Square, and I've come to know the work of several local artists, including a man named Ree Redifer, Cooper, who I believe Andrew Wyeth called his favorite local painter. Mm-hmm. Does the museum have any works by Redifer?
Yes, we do have one, but unfortunately it's not on view at the moment. But yes, I've also heard that Andrew Wyeth said that about him.
Mm-hmm. It's unfortunate. We don't know the name Ree Redifer very well. I mean, obviously Andrew was much, much better known than Ree, but Ree also focused on a lot of historical scenes, mm-hmm. General Washington at Valley Forge and others. I've met Redifer's wife and actually gotten some signed prints by the artist. I love his work as well. The Brandywine School is really alive today mm-hmm. in the works of several talented artists like Carl Kerner, Jacqueline Beam, and others. This school tends to focus on landscape paintings, you know, highlighting the beautiful Chester County countryside with shadows and light and texture. You know, what are your thoughts on the Brandywine School and its future direction?
Oh, I think the Brandywine School is still going strong, and it's very exciting what it holds for the future. There are so many talented painters in the region carrying on the tradition. And, in fact, the museum does its part to help encourage painters. We actually have been starting to offer what we call plein air days. We allow painters to go to the Kerner Farm and explore it and find a place there that they really want to paint or photograph, or, you know, if it's watercolor, if it's oil, they're welcome to do that. And we actually introduced some special days this past winter we called Plein Air Inside Out, which was we let painters stand in the atrium with the floor-to-ceiling windows and the sweeping views so they could be warm and still paint the beauty of the Brandywine. Mm. So there's some really exciting opportunities out there.
I think so. You know, I've met the Carl Kerner. Now, he was the, I think, the grandson of the Carl Kerner who Andrew Wyeth used to paint. And,
yes.
And, you know, I've been to the farm. By the way, if you don't, if our listeners don't really know Andrew Wyeth's paintings very well, you probably have seen or at least heard of a painting called Christina's World, which was at the Smithsonian, I believe, for quite a few years. It kind of catapulted him to fame back in, I think, in 1948. It's of a woman who's actually, I believe, a paraplegic who is crawling in a field up in Maine, and it was so interesting and so different from just about anything that he'd ever done and most other artists had ever done. It immediately captured the public's attention. It's an outstanding painting. Mm-hmm. Many of our listeners probably have seen it. If you like that one, you would love many, many of the works that Andrew Wyeth has at the museum.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about your current exhibits there now at the museum.
Well, we have it's called The Poetry of Nature, A Golden Age of American Landscape Painting, and that's opening this Saturday. And there's some really beautiful and amazing works. The Hudson River School is the really beautiful, luminous landscapes that if you don't know that it's the Hudson River School, I'm sure you've seen some of the paintings because they're just so beautiful. And then in April, we'll be opening another American landscape painting exhibition. And this will include paintings that were in a bequest from Richard M. Scaife, the newspaper man and philanthropist who died in 2014. In fact, one of the philanthropic publications said he was the most generous American in 2015, surely because of the donation of the art. We have a really exciting exhibition opening up this summer called Get the Picture, Richardson Children's Book Illustration, and we're going to have it actually includes work by Sophie Blackall, who just won the Caldecott Medal this year for a book called Finding Winnie, which is about the origin of there was actually a bear named Winnie who inspired Winnie the Pooh.
Mm-hmm.
So we're really excited about that one. And if you are a Wyeth fan and you haven't seen our historic properties, it's a real treat and really helps you get a different level of understanding about their paintings.
Mm-hmm.
The museum owns and operates tours of the N.C. Wyeth House and Studio and the Andrew Wyeth Studio, which is has an extra level of fascination on it because Andrew and Betsy moved into that very, very soon after their marriage, and both of their boys were born while they were living in that house. It was their home for about 20 years.
Mm.
So it's a very intimate look at Andrew Wyeth's life mm-hmm. to take a tour of that. And we also have tours of the Kerner Farm, which actually is still one of the last – it's still a working farm. They hay now. Back in its heyday, it was a dairy farm, but it still is – farmed by members of the Kerner family,
mm-hmm.
and it's also available for tours. And
mm-hmm.
It's really It's beautiful.
Yeah, to our listeners, tours of the NC Wise Studio, the Andrew Wise Studio, and the Kerner Farm are starting on April 1st. Mm-hmm. I have seen all three personally. They're great places to visit. So if you are an art lover and just like a little bit about art history or just want to wander the scenic Chester County countryside, I think you would really enjoy going on any of those tours. And by the way, if you are a fan of any of these artists, stop in at the museum store. They have literally hundreds of prints that you can purchase, and they're absolutely lovely, along with books and other things. Hillary, just one last comment. Tell us a little bit about your website and what people can see on your website.
Well, we've got all kinds of information about visiting. You can buy tickets, and we list all the events coming up. We've got events that are specifically focused around the Hudson River School painting. We have events for children. We've got summer camps. And that's, you'll also be able to find information about our other program. We actually have a land conservation program associated with us. We're part of the Brandywine Conservancy and Museum of Arts. You can learn a lot about how the Conservancy preserves open space and helps keep the water, drinking water of the Brandywine River clean.
Mm-hmm. That's great. And many people are probably not aware that the Brandywine Conservancy is very, very active in keeping the local environment very clean and preserved. And you know, if you like the environment, if you enjoy seeing the countryside, thank the Conservancy or a conservationist because they've had a hand in it. Hillary, thank you so much for speaking with us today. It's been a pleasure. Folks, be sure to tune in next Wednesday, March 23rd at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, when we'll be speaking with Linda Cott about the preservation of the historic Strode's Mill here in Chester County. There are a lot of historic structures in the area, not only Hoffman's Mill, but Strode's Mill up the road. Thank you all for joining us today for Living History.